our suffering Saviour. Jesus warns Peter that he will betray him. Jesus and his disciples started out on the way to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will turn against me tonight, because it is written, 'I'll strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am risen, I'll go ahead of you to Galilee." "Even if all will turn against you," Peter answered him, "I will never turn against you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus told him, "tonight before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter protested more ardently, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you." All the other disciples said the same thing. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took his disciples, as he often had done, to the other side of the Kidron Valley, and there he went with them to a garden called Gethsemane. "Sit down here while I go over there and pray," he told them, "and you pray that you may not be tempted." Then he took with him Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and withdrew from the others about as far as one would throw a stone. And he began to feel terror and grief, and he said to them, "My soul is so full of sorrow that I'm almost dying. Stay here and watch with me." He went ahead a little, bowed down with his face on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. "My Father," he said, "you can do anything. If it is possible, and if you wish, take this cup from me, but your will, not mine, be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. And as he began to struggle inwardly, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. After praying, he got up, went to the disciples, and found them sleeping because they were feeling sad. "Simon, are you sleeping?" he asked Peter. Then he said to them, "So you couldn't keep awake with me 1 hour? Why are you sleeping? Get up, watch and pray, that you may not be tempted. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Then he went away a second time and prayed the same as before. "My Father, if this cannot pass by me and I must drink it, your will be done." He came again and found them sleeping. They couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say to him. Leaving them again, he went away and prayed the same prayer a third time. Then he came to the disciples a third time. "Are you going to sleep on now and rest?" he asked them. "It is enough. The time has come. Now the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us go. Here comes a man to betray me." Judas betrays Jesus. Judas, one of the 12 who was betraying him, also knew the place because Jesus and his disciples had often met there. Judas had taken a troop of soldiers and servants from the ruling priests, the men of the law, and the elders of the people. And just then, while Jesus was still speaking, there came there a large crowd with lanterns and torches, swords and clubs. The traitor had given them a signal. "The one I kiss is the man," he said. "Arrest him, take him away, and don't let him escape." Then Jesus went out, knowing exactly what was going to happen to him. "Whom are you looking for?" he asked them. "Jesus of Nazareth," they answered him. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, ready to betray him, was standing with them. When Jesus told them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. He asked them again, "Whom are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. "I told you, I am he," Jesus answered. "Now if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill what he had said, "I have lost none of those you gave me." At that moment, Judas, who led them, stepped up to Jesus. "Greetings, Master," he said, and he kissed him tenderly. "Friend, what are you here for?" Jesus asked him. "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" The arrest. The men around Jesus, seeing what was going to happen, asked, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" Then the others came forward and took hold of Jesus and arrested him. Simon Peter, standing near Jesus, reached for his sword and drew it. He struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said, "Let them do it, no more of this," and touching the man's ear, he healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its scabbard. All who take the sword must die by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot call on my Father to send right now more than 70,000 angels to help me? How then could the Bible be true when it says that this must happen? Shouldn't I drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Then Jesus said to the crowd of ruling priests, captains of the temple and the elders who had come for him, "You came to arrest me with swords and clubs as if I were a robber. Day after day I was with you as I sat and taught in the temple, and you laid no hands on me to arrest me. But this is your time when darkness rules. All this is done so that what the prophets have written may come true." Then the disciples left him and ran away. One young man who was following him wore only a linen cloth. They tried to take him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. So the troop of soldiers, the captain, and the attendants of the Jews arrested Jesus, bound him, led him away, and took him to the high priest's palace. They took him to Annas first, because he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews, "It is best that one man dies for the people." Hymn number 66, "Go My Soul to Calvary."
Thank you.
Peter follows Jesus. But Simon Peter was following Jesus at a distance. Another disciple also is following him. That disciple was known to the high priest, and he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter was standing outside the door. So the other disciple, whom the high priest knew, went out and talked to the girl who watched the door and brought Peter into the courtyard of the high priest. The slaves and the servants who were standing around had lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had made a heap of burning coals because it was cold. As they sat together and warmed themselves, Peter also stood and sat with the attendants, warming himself by the fire. He wanted to see how this would end. Jesus before Annas. Then the high priest asked Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken publicly to the world," Jesus answered him. "I have always taught in a synagogue or in the temple where all the Jews meet, and I haven't said anything in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me. They know what I said to them." When he said this, one of the attendants who was standing near Jesus slapped his face. "Is that how you answer the high priest?" he asked. "If I said anything wrong," Jesus answered him, "tell me what was wrong. But if I told the truth, why do you slap me?" Then Annas had him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. The first trial before the Jewish court. All the ruling priests, elders, and men of the law had been called together at the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. The ruling priests and the whole Jewish court tried to get false testimony against Jesus in order to kill him, but they couldn't find any. While many came forward to give false testimonies against him, their testimonies did not agree. At last, two men came forward and gave false testimonies against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I can tear down the temple of God and build it in 3 days. I'll tear down this temple made by human hands, and in 3 days build another that is not made by human hands.' But not even on this point did their testimonies agree." Then the high priest stepped forward. "Don't you have anything to say to this?" he asked Jesus. "What is this that they are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent and didn't answer. Then the high priest said to him, "Swear by the living God and tell us, are you the promised Saviour, the Son of God, the Blessed One?" "I am," Jesus answered him. "But I tell you, from now on, you will all see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robe. "He has blasphemed," he declared. "Why do we need any more witnesses? You have just heard the blasphemy. What is your verdict?" Then all condemned him and said, "He must die." Then some of them began to spit in his face, and the men who were holding him were making fun of him. They covered his face and struck him with their fists, and some slapped him. "Prophesy, you Christ, and tell us, who struck you?" they were asking him. They were also speaking many other blasphemies against him. Then the attendants took charge of him, and they also slapped him. Peter denies Jesus. Peter was standing outside, down in the courtyard, and he sat in the light. The doorkeeper, one of the maids of the high priest, saw him, warming himself. She came to Peter. "You aren't one of this man's disciples, are you?" she asked. "I am not," he answered. "You were with Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee," she said, looking straight at him. "He was with him." But he denied it before all of them. "I don't know him, woman, and I don't know what you're talking about." After a little while, he went out to the entrance. Then a rooster crowed. Another maid saw him. "He was with Jesus of Nazareth," she told the men who were standing around. "He is one of them." Simon Peter continued to stand and warm himself. So the men asked him, "You are one of his disciples, are you?" One man looked at him and said, "You are one of them." And Peter denied and swore, "Man, I am not. I don't know the man." After an hour, another insisted. "Certainly he was with him. Why, he is a Galilean. The men who stood near came and told Peter, "You are certainly one of them, because your way of speaking shows who you are. You are a Galilean." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied, "Man, I don't know what you mean." And he cursed and swore, "I don't know this man of whom you are talking." Just then, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed a second time. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered what the Lord had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice today, you will deny me three times." He went outside and started to cry bitterly. The second meeting of the Jewish court. As soon as it was morning, all the ruling priests and the elders of the people, including the men of the law, that is, the whole Jewish court, had a meeting. They brought Jesus before their court and said, "If you are the promised Saviour, tell us." "If I tell you, you will not believe me," he said to them. "And if I ask you a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be sitting at the right hand of the power of God." "Are you then the Son of God?" all of them asked. He answered them, "As you say, I am he." "Why do we need any more testimony?" they asked. "We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." Then the whole crowd of them decided to kill Jesus. They got up, bound Jesus, took him from Caiaphas to the governor's palace, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. It was early in the morning. Please stand for the next reading. The end of Judas. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he felt sorry, and he brought the 30 shekels of silver back to the high priest and the elders. "I have sinned," he said. "I have betrayed innocent blood." "What do we care about that?" they asked. "See to that yourself." Then he threw the money into the temple and left, and he went and hanged himself. As he fell forward, he burst in the middle, and all his bowels poured out. The high priest took the money. "It isn't right to put this into the treasury," they said, "because it is blood money." So they decided to buy the potter's field with it for the burial of strangers. That is why that field has ever since been called the field of blood. Then what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. "I took 30 shekels of silver, the price of him on whom some men of Israel set a price, and I gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." We now sing hymn 65, "Lord Jesus, we give thanks to thee."
Jesus, we give thanks.
Jesus before Pilate. The Jews themselves did not go into the governor's palace to keep from getting unclean because they wanted to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate came out to them. "What accusation do you bring against this man?" he asked. "If he were no criminal," they answered him, "we would not have handed him over to you." "You take him yourselves," Pilate told them, "and judge him according to your law." "We are not permitted to kill anyone," the Jews answered him. And so what Jesus had said was to come true. He had predicted how he was going to die. Then they started to accuse him. "We found that he leads our people astray, keeps them from paying taxes to Caesar, and says he is the Christ, a king." Pilate went back into the palace and called for Jesus. When Jesus stood before the governor, Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Did you think of that yourself?" Jesus asked. "Or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate asked. "Your own people and the ruling priests handed you over to me. What did you do?" "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus answered. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world." "Then you are a king?" Pilate asked him. "Yes, I am a king," Jesus answered. "I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who lives in the truth listens to me." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After saying that, he went out to the Jews again, and he told the ruling priests and the crowd, "I don't find this man guilty of anything." While the ruling priests and the elders continued to accuse Jesus of many things, he said nothing. "Don't you have anything to say to this?" Pilate asked him again. "Don't you hear all these accusations they bring against you?" But Jesus didn't answer him any more in regard to anything that was said, so that Pilate was very much surprised. Jesus before Herod. The priests and the crowds kept urging him. "He stirs up the people," they said, "by teaching all over the country of the Jews, beginning in Galilee and coming here." When Pilate heard that, he asked, "Is the man from Galilee?" And when he found out that Jesus came from the country ruled by Herod, he sent him to Herod, who at that time was also in Jerusalem. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. For a long time he had wanted to see him, because he had heard about him, and he hoped to see Jesus do some miracle. He asked him a lot of questions, but Jesus didn't answer him. And the ruling priests and the men of the law were standing there and accusing him with all their might. So Herod and his soldiers treated him with contempt and made fun of him. They put fine clothes on him and sent him back to Pilate. On that day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Then Pilate called the ruling priests, the other leaders, and the people together. "You brought this man as one who turns away the people," he told them. "And now look, I have examined him before you, but I haven't found this man guilty of any of the things of which you accuse him. Nor did Herod, because he sent him back to us. You see, he has done nothing to deserve death. So I'll teach him a lesson and let him go." Barabbas. Now at every festival, the governor used to free one prisoner whom the crowd wanted and asked for. Just then there was a well-known robber by the name of Barabbas. He had been put in prison with the men who had revolted in the city and had committed a murder. And a crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them as he had done before. "You have a custom that I free someone for you at the Passover," Pilate answered them. "Whom do you want me to set free for you, Barabbas or Jesus, the King of the Jews, who is called Christ?" He knew that the ruling priests had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent someone to tell him, "Let that righteous man alone. I have suffered much in a dream today on account of him." But the ruling priests and the elders stirred up the people to get them to ask Pilate to free Barabbas for them and to get them to kill Jesus. "Which of the two?" the governor asked them. "Do you want me to set free for you?" Then the whole crowd cried out, "Not this one, away with him. Free Barabbas for us." But Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, and he called to them again, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ, and whom you call the King of the Jews?" Again, all of them cried out aloud, "Crucify, crucify him." But Pilate spoke to them a third time, "Why? What wrong has he done? I have found in him nothing that deserves death, so I'll teach him a lesson and let him go." But they kept shouting louder and louder, "Crucify him!" And their shouts were overpowering Pilate. When he saw that he wasn't getting anywhere, but that instead a riot was breaking out, Pilate took water and washed his hands before the crowd. "I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man," he said. "You see to it." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then Pilate, wanting to satisfy the people, decided that what they demanded should be done. He let them have Barabbas, who had been put in prison for revolt and murder, but whom they were asking for. "Look at your king." So Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. Then his soldiers took Jesus, brought him into the courtyard of the governor's palace, called together and gathered around him the whole troop of soldiers. The soldiers took off his clothes and put a scarlet cloak on him. They twisted some thorns into a crown, placed it on his head, and put a stick into his right hand. They went up to Jesus, knelt before him, and bowed down to him. In mockery they greeted him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him, took the stick, hit him on the head with it, and they slapped his face. And after they had mocked him, Pilate went outside again. "I am bringing him out to you," he told them, "to let you know that I don't find him guilty of anything." Jesus came outside, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak. "Look at the man," Pilate said to them. When the ruling priests and the servants saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify him." "You take him," Pilate told them, "and crucify him yourselves, because I don't find him guilty of anything." "We have a law," the Jews answered him, "and according to the law he must die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard them say that, he was frightened still more. He went into the palace again. "Where are you from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus didn't answer him. "Don't you speak to me?" Pilate then asked him, "Don't you know I have the power to free you and crucify you?" "You wouldn't have any power over me," Jesus answered him, "if it had not been given to you from above. That is why the man who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." This made Pilate anxious to let him go, but the Jews shouted, "If you let him go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who makes himself a king is against Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus outside and sat in the judge's seat at a place called Stone Pavement, or Gabbatha, in the language of the Jews. It was a Friday of the Passover, and it was about 6 o'clock. "Look at your king," he said to the Jews. Then they shouted, "Away with him, kill him, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked them. "We have no king but Caesar," the ruling priests answered. Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified as they desired it. Hymn number 55, part 1. O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? on the way to the cross. The soldiers took off the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they took Jesus and led him out to crucify him. He was carrying his cross. As they went, they found a man from Cyrene by the name of Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus. He was passing by as he came in from the country. They took hold of him, laid the cross on him, and forced him to carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of the people followed him. The women in the crowd were beating their breasts and weeping over him. Turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Zion, don't cry over me, but cry over yourselves and your children, because the time is coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the women who couldn't have children, the wombs that didn't bear, and the breasts that didn't nurse.' Then the people begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' If this is done to the green tree, what will be done to the dry?" Two others, who were criminals, were also taken away to be killed with him. They crucified him. They took him to what was called the place of the skull, which the Jews called Golgotha. They tried to give him a drink of wine mixed with myrrh and gall, but when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. There they crucified him. Then they also crucified two robbers with him, one at his right and the other on his left, and Jesus in the middle. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." This is the first word from the cross. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier, drawing lots to see what each one should take. The tunic had no seam. It was woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let us not tear it," they said to one another, "but let us draw lots to see who gets it, so that the words of the Bible might come true. They divided my clothes among them, and for my garment they drew lots." That was what the soldiers did. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Pilate had written a notice stating the reason why Jesus was punished, and the soldiers put it above his head on the cross. He had written, "This is Jesus from Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many Jews read this notice because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Then the high priest of the Jews told Pilate, "Don't write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" "What I have written," Pilate answered, "I have written." The people stood there watching. Those who passed by mocked him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha, you who would tear down the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross." In the same way, the ruling priests, the men of the law, and elders who were sneering and making fun of him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he cannot save himself. He should save himself if he is the Saviour whom God has chosen. He is the King of Israel. Now he should come down from the cross. He should let us see that, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he likes him. Didn't he say, 'I am the Son of God'?" The soldiers also made fun of him by going up to him and offering him sour wine. "If you are the King of the Jews," they said, "save yourself." A robber turns to Jesus. In the same way, also the robbers who were crucified with him insulted him. One of the criminals who had been crucified there mocked him. "Aren't you the promised Saviour? Save yourself and us." But the other warned him. "Aren't you afraid of God?" he asked him, "seeing that you are condemned just as he is? Our punishment is just. We are getting what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to him, "today you'll be with me in paradise." This is the second word from the cross. Jesus provides for Mary, his mother. Now his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary from Magdala were standing by the cross of Jesus. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near. "Woman," he said to his mother, "there is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "There is your mother." This is a third word from the cross. From that time, the disciple took her into his own home. Please stand for the next reading. Three dark hours. It was about noon when darkness came over the whole country, because the sun had stopped shining and the darkness lasted until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out aloud, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why did you forsake me?" This is the fourth word from the cross. When some of the men who stood near heard this, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." After that, because he knew that everything had now been done, and in order that the words of the Bible might come true, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." This is a fifth word from the cross. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. Immediately one of the men ran, took a sponge and soaked it in sour wine. He put it on a stick of hyssop and held it to the mouth of Jesus and gave him a drink. "Let us see," he and the other said, "if Elijah will come to save him and take him down." Now when Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." This is the sixth word from the cross. Hymn number 81, O Perfect Life of Love. Jesus dies. And again Jesus called out aloud, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. This is the seventh word from the cross. After he said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Just then the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth was shaken, the rocks were split, the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the holy people who had gone to their rest came back to life. They came out of the graves after he had risen, went into the holy city, and showed themselves to many people. The captain who stood facing Jesus saw how he gave up his spirit, and he praised God. This man certainly was righteous, he said. As he and his men were watching over Jesus, they saw the earthquake and the other things that happened, and they were very much afraid. He certainly was the Son of God, they said. When all the people who had come together to see this saw what had happened, they beat their breasts and turned back. All his friends were standing there, and many women who had followed and helped Jesus while he was in Galilee. Among them were Mary from Magdala, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and of Salome, the mother of Zebedee's son. They had come up to Jerusalem with him, and now had been watching him from a distance. No bone is broken. Since it was Friday and the Jews didn't want the bodies to stay on the crosses on Saturday because that Sabbath was an important day, they asked Pilate to have the legs of the men broken and the bodies taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and then of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They didn't break his legs, but one of the soldiers stuck a spear into his side, and immediately blood and water came out. He who saw it has testified about it, and his testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth in order that you too may believe. This happened so that the statement might come true. None of his bones will be broken. And at another place the Bible says, they will look on him whom they pierced. Jesus is buried. In the evening there came a rich man by the name of Joseph from Arimathea, a town of the Jews. He was an important member of the Jewish court, a good and righteous man who was awaiting for the kingdom of God. He was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he was afraid of the Jews, he had not voted for their plan and action. Since it was a day of preparation, that is Friday, he dared to go and ask Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised that he should be dead already. He called the captain and asked him, "Has he already died?" When the captain told him, Pilate ordered that the body be given to Joseph. Joseph brought a linen cloth and came and took down the body of Jesus. Then came also Nicodemus, who at first had come to Jesus at night. He bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. So they took the body of Jesus and wrapped and bound it with the spices in clean linen cloths, according to the Jewish custom of burying the dead. There was a garden at the place where Jesus had been crucified, and in the garden was Joseph's new grave, which he had cut in the rock and in which no one had yet been laid. Here then, because it was a day of preparation among the Jews, and the day of rest was just beginning, and the grave was near, they laid Jesus. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed them. Mary from Magdala was there, and the other Mary, the mother of Jesus. They sat before the grave and saw where and how his body was laid. Joseph rolled a large stone against the door of the grave and went away. The women went back and prepared spices and perfumes, but on Saturday they rested according to the commandment. The guard. The next day, the Saturday, after the day of preparation, the ruling priests and the Pharisees met with Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember how that deceiver, while he was still alive, said, 'On the third day I will arise.' Now order the grave to be made secure till the third day, or his disciples may come and steal him, and then tell the people he arose from the dead, then the last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate told him. Go and make it as secure as you know how. So they went and secured the grave by sealing the stone and setting the guard.